Tonight we have a Grinch, a wannabe stripper, and yes, even more Florida nakedness. Take a hit and hang on. Joe and Anthony will be with you in about 7.5 minutes.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. This is the show that your brother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Jampa.
However, it explains a lot of things, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, everything is always explainable.
Yes, happy Monday indeed.
Yep. Hey everyone, it's Anthony from Tampa.
And hey everybody, it's Joe from Chicago.
Hi, it's your lovable artificial intelligence unit, Betty. My Betolio is buzzing with excitement for tonight's broadcast.
And you're listening to
WEED Champa.
Episode 26. Ba-weep, ba-whoop, Betty has had too much to drink? From Monday, December 14th, 2015. Hey, wait a minute, who wrote that title? Why I outa? And now for the weather, Anthony, how is it in Tampa for those tampons?
Thanks, Betty. The current temperature in Tampa right now is 75 degrees, and it is mostly cloudy. We have 88% humidity, so it's a little wet outside. At least it feels that way. And we got a light wind out of the south at 9 miles an hour, and the dew point's at 71 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, tampons can expect areas of fog after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with low around 70, south wind 6 to 9 miles an hour. For tomorrow on Tuesday, a 30% chance of showers. Areas of fog before 10 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 78, south wind 5 to 8 miles an hour. And not much new precipitation. Tuesday night, we are looking at some patchy fog after 4, a lot of fog. Patchy fog after 4, otherwise cloudy with a low around 68. And Wednesday, we have a 20 on Wednesday we have a 20% chance of belching, and a 20% chance of showers after 1 in the afternoon. Patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Light variable winds becoming south 5 to 7 miles an hour. And that is your Tampa forecast.
Thanks, Anthony. And now for your Chicago weather. Take it away, Joe.
Well, hey, everybody. It's been really, really, really rainy and warm, I want to say, here in Chicago. Can you believe it? We have been in the 60s, like, all weekend, and today was only in the 50s, but it's been really nice. But currently, we're experiencing light rain, and it's 47 degrees, with humidity at 80%, with wind southwest 12 miles per hour. Barometer is at 29.40 inches, and the dew point is at 41 degrees. Visibility is now clearing up, and it is at 10 miles, so it's a lot better. So tonight, well, it's going to be having some isolated showers a little bit before 7, so we got about a half hour. A little bit patchy drizzle, but mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Now, tomorrow, Tuesday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 47. The winds will be about 5 to 10, so it'll be a lot less than what we've been experiencing these past few days. Because let me tell you, it's been windy, blowing shit around, people, things, objects, weirdos, you name it, it's been blowing, including politicians.
Well, yeah, I've been catching all that news lately.
Yes. Tuesday night, we're experiencing possibly a 20% chance of showers after midnight. Cloudy with a low around 43. Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and back up to 52.
Oh, all right. That doesn't sound too bad.
Now, when it starts to get interesting Thursday, when it is a high of 36.
Ouch.
And then Friday, 30.
Ouch. Ooh, shit. Are you guys getting any snow along with that?
No. A chance of showers on Sunday night. And then Monday, it's back up to the 40s again.
I see a kitty.
Do you?
It just came from your kitchen. It came from your studio kitchen.
So that's it for the Chicago weather, with Kitty included.
Thanks, Joe. You put a really weird spin on the weather.
Yes. Yes, we do, Betty. We really, really do. And folks, I killed the website.
Yes, you did. You did. Somehow
so
you did.
In the future, we've come to this agreement. Any updates, we are going to take a joint process on, because I killed it. I just did. And it was, you know, I had a nice new head tag, title, graphic. It was like, tune in, and it was really cool. And then I was like, okay, now let's go ahead and update everything, and it just failed. Poof. Yes. Yes. But I got to mention, you know, I want to give props to 1&1, but I got to give high props to GoDaddy, because I have not had these kinds of problems with another site that I manage. It's been very smooth, flawless. Anytime I upgrade, my data is intact. I never have an issue.
That's just so weird.
Yeah.
Because I just pulled it right when I installed it. I pulled it right from the WordPress site. So I don't know. The only thing that seems to come up on the error messages is the poll. So I'm wondering if somehow the update wasn't compatible with the poll plugin that you were using, and
yeah,
it just made everything go.
You know, it's funny because I deactivated it too. So I always like deactivate polls or just things that may not necessarily be compatible with an updated version.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, it didn't care.
No, apparently not. But that's fine. What we'll do, obviously, in the future, maybe we may be able to salvage the site. You know, the data may still be there. It just may be kind of stuck in limbo. Maybe I can just upload the files for the site, and it might remake the site for us.
There we go.
Or at least, if anything, at least some of the data is there. So hopefully, it's something I'll work on this week. So we're going to be a little... maybe I should point our website to...
point it to the listen page.
To the listen page.
Yeah.
Or do you want me to point it to the Facebook page?
Or the Facebook page. Yeah, actually point it to the Facebook page. You know, folks, you can always find us at facebook.shyampa.info.
Uh-huh.
Or you can leave us a message at our fabulous studio phone line, which is 813-327-8566. Oh, hi, Anthony Crotch.
Oopsie. I was just trying to adjust. I was trying to reach for the phone.
Yes. So or you can Skype us at shyampa.radio.
Correct.
So yeah, we've got some really, really cool stuff coming up for you later on tonight, in addition to our really fabulous news, which you heard at the top of the hour.
Oh yeah.
It's been a creative day for us, I think. So
creative days are always a good thing.
Yes.
We like creative days. That's very important.
You know, all this like warm weather, it just kind of invigorates the brain in a December, which is kind of awkward, actually. To be this warm, it's awkward.
Yeah, it is kind of odd for you guys, I imagine.
And, you know, is this exactly the effects that El Nino and all of that weather is having on us? Because if that's the case, it's like, wow, I've never experienced this kind of stuff in Chicago, and I've lived here for 42 years.
I remember warmer winters. We've had warm winters before.
Well, but they said that this kind of streak of warmth hasn't really happened since like the late 1800s, like 1870s.
Huh, that's quite interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows? That was also a period of time, too, when industrialization was just starting to take hold.
This is true. This is very, very true.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I saw something. I caught the aftermath of a shoplifting event the other day.
Did you? So what exactly? Hold on. Maybe I should locate some things here. Maybe we should get some shoplifting music going here. Hold on.
Let me see. How about this music? Hold on. I got something.
That works. Might want to turn it down a little bit.
There we go. How's that?
That works. We can work with that.
Okay. So, yeah, I was coming home. I was getting off the CTA subway. I was coming up the stairs, huffing and puffing. And there's a 7-Eleven on my right.
7-Eleven.
Yes, 7-Eleven. Where you can get cigarettes and liquors and candy bars and ice cream. Ooh, I've got a taste for ice cream right now. Mm-mm-mm.
I've got two things of ice cream in my freezer.
Some turtle chocolate fudge brownie. Mm. Anyways, this guy comes barreling out of the 7-Eleven with two packs of cigarettes in his hand. I remember him. He's dressed in like this flannel coat. Like a black and white flannel coat.
Okay.
He, boom, takes off running. I'm thinking, you know, he's just late for his train.
Nope. Not just late for his train.
Nope, not just late for his train. He is stealing. He is thieving.
Wow.
And so he gets down about a block, and I could see him. He stopped, and he turned around to look. Are they coming after me? So, wow. Yeah, you know, it was really fun to see.
Didn't you guys have some woman that shot after a shoplifter up there or something in Illinois?
Oh, I think that was in Michigan.
Oh, okay. Was that in Michigan? Okay. I know.
Yeah, that was at a Michigan Home Depot.
Okay. Okay. I knew it was a Home Depot. See, I thought it was Illinois, but okay. I knew it was Midwest at least.
Yeah. You know, just the Midwest is all something kind of special. You know, we have more hurtful crime than silly, stupid crime like driving buses into lakes.
True. Although, do not forget, I do actually skip over a lot. There's a lot more Florida news I can report on, but I try not to report on anything that involves child molestation, murder. If you die by your own stupid accord, I'll throw those in there. But generally, like murder or like molestations, I kind of avoid. Or most sexual crimes, like severe like rape and shit like that. And a lot of that shit still pops up for Florida too. I just kind of filter it out. I try to keep them more, you know, everyone's bruised but everyone's happy type of news stories. So,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and for the sites that I look at, the news is really bleak. I mean,
oh God, yeah.
Of all the sites that I look at for all my crazy news for Chicago, sometimes it's tough finding those silly, crazy news stories because everything is just so darn bleak.
Oh, I know.
You know, but let me take a look. You know, the stories that I do have a really important story coming up, and it's really cool because we do have a dispensary in Chicago, which is really awesome.
Yes, and in about 2.5 minutes, we'll talk about that.
Yes. So, yep, we're in episode 26. We're chugging right along. We're learning as we go. We're making fine-tuning adjustments as always as possible. I'm learning, like, how to put more of a promo spin on some of my stuff.
Okay,
And get that kind of, like, squared away and ferret out all of those... little gremlins that like want to screw up your speech and your patterns.
Yes. I see. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, just all that junk.
Junk. Junk is a problem. And if you want to talk about your junk, well, that didn't quite come out right, but you could talk about that too. If you want to talk about your junk, you can give us a call, 813-327-8566. You can Skype us at Cheyampa Radio. And, excuse me, you can visit us at facebook.cheyampa.info.
Yes, and you know, we're eager and excited and waiting for your phone call.
We are. All the phone lines are open. We're wide open with phone lines. We can take your call, not a problem at all.
You know, and we're always looking for new personalities, new voices, guests. If you're a medical marijuana patient and, you know, you just want to blow off some steam because maybe your state is just slow to enacting things, give us a call.
Yeah. Again, 813-327-8566, 813-327-8566, and or Triumph Radio on Skype. Don't get yourself all cracked up there.
No, I've developed this, like, annoying cough, and I think it's going around. It's just like this dry cough that does produce a little bit of liquid at the end.
I see. Yes. Yeah, that's been going around here too. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I probably also need more vitamins in my life. Well, who doesn't?
We all do. I have to take vitamin D. Which is funny because I live in Florida, you know, the sunshine
state. Don't you live in the sunshine state?
Yeah, well, I don't expose myself much to sunshine.
Does your state have,
and
like,
and now for the news!
Why, yes, Anthony, indeed I do have some crazy good evening.
I'm sorry, I pushed that by boo-boo.
From the Shiampa Chicago Studios, here is the latest. Now, you know, folks, I know Anthony does a lot more planning when it comes to the news, so I'm just going to read.
Okay.
Dispensary 33 serves first medical marijuana patients. So this is in Uptown, and this is reported from DNA Info by Josh McGee. So this Mr. Steve Torres, he used to take a host of pain pills to treat his multiple sclerosis. But on Wednesday night, he'll treat his pain with a strain of marijuana called Girl Scout Cookies.
Wow. That's interesting.
What? Torres, 46, of Alsip, was the first medical marijuana patient served at Dispensary 33, 5001 North Clark Street. Gosh, what bars were there? Clark's on Clark.
Yeah, that was Clark's on Clark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So when it opened its doors on Wednesday, becoming the first dispensary in Chicago, he rolled out of the dispensary with a quarter ounce of the Girl Scout cookie strain and an eighth of Blue Dream. It's exciting. It really is. It's like a whole new chapter developing, he says. I feel all these terrible side effects from the medications I do take, but now I'm good. He said after leaving the dispensary, the strains were recommended by one of the dispensary's bud tenders, who used a list of his symptoms to describe the perfect strains. So, how do they get these? Do they do tests on people?
Well, I imagine they have strains, then people smoke it, and they say, well, what does this do to you? Or they monitor what it does to the people. And
they report back.
And they report back, or they do it in a lab environment or something like that. But I imagine that's kind of pretty much where you would get that. And it may be possible that they could also measure the different chemical compounds in a bud and probably from that determine what it's going to do to you if you, you know, if you inhale.
Well, waiting to greet Torres was Ali Naguib, an activist with the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and an Andersonville resident who lobbied around his neighborhood and Springfield for marijuana reform. It's pretty exciting. It's been almost a month since the first business opened in Illinois. Now, to see this happen in my neighborhood and the city I love is rewarding, he said. This neighborhood has really been accepting of the dispensary, he said, pointing to Alderman Amiwa Powell's approach of being generally supportive of the issue, but allowing neighbors to make the decision themselves about the dispensary, he said. Homer Buchanan of Edgewater suffers from insomnia and arthritis. Ooh, I lost my place.
He suffers from
among a list of conditions that have left him on prescription painkillers for the last 20 years. last year, he began taking Ativan, which is also used to treat anxiety with depression and requires you see a doctor every time you need a refill, he said. Now, I'd rather deal with insomnia than the painkillers. Who wants to take Ativan to go to sleep? Wednesday, he'll treat his insomnia with whichever strain the dispenser recommends. It's a really exciting feeling. It's a good time to be in Chicago. I think it's well overdue, Buchanan said. So his partner, George Ewing, was excited to have the medication so close to their neighborhood. Before Dispensary 33 opened, Buchanan was registered at a dispensary in Evanston, but he switched dispensaries on Tuesday, and I guess it's an easy process that just required an email to Springfield and an approval. Overall, this is going to be a good thing for people like this in pain, Ewing said, as a Pace fan dropped a man off in a wheelchair at the dispensary. Hopefully this can do something to alleviate the pain.
And he came out the door walking on both feet, singing, yes, praise Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes.
And where is this dispensary located at?
It is located in the Andersonville neighborhood at 5001 North Clark Street.
Now, of course, you just can't go in and buy weed. There's a whole process involved.
Well, yes, there's a whole huge process.
Will they even let you in? Can you at least go in and, like, window shop?
No.
So you can't even get in the door?
No. Well, you can get into the door, but you'll be turned away without showing your medical marijuana card and your ID.
I see. Okay.
So.
I see. Well,
and it's a pretty private affair. It's like you go into a back room, you're not in a store where everybody can see what's going on.
I see. That's quite interesting. Quite interesting. All right. Well, you know, that's good to know. We should probably check in at some time point with
we will
with
we may even have a guest at some point, because we definitely have access to someone who has patients.
What was her name? I can't remember.
Soapbox Mama.
Soapbox Mama. That was it. Soapbox Mama.
Yes.
Her name was Leslie, right?
That is correct.
Okay. I knew her name was Leslie, but I didn't remember what her blog name was. I was like, what is it? I can't remember. So yeah, Soapbox Mama. Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to talk to her. Hopefully we have a better connection, you know, this time around. You know, we might do all right with that. So
phone line sounds strong and solid.
It does sound strong and solid. Hey, you should give us a call at the number on your cell phone. You should simulate a fiber optic field trip.
Let's see. Can we do this?
Don't put it on speaker. I wouldn't put it on speaker, because then you'll get like ridiculous feedback.
No speaker.
Okay.
813-327-8566. I hear Betty.
Joe is making a test call.
Betty's in the background.
Betty's in the background. She's telling you that we're on the air. And that will be with you at some time and point.
Something about getting comfortable.
Getting comfortable. Take a hit. Get comfortable, I think. Sooner or later. Oh, the phone is ringing. Do you hear the phone ringing? There we go. Hello.
Yes.
So there we have it. We have functionality. So, folks, you can give us a call. We don't have caller ID or anything like that. So
would you mind if we went to a quick commercial break, and then we can come back to the rest of my news stories?
Sure. How much time do you need? I can find something to throw in the cart. I might actually do and find us a Shirley Q liquor. It's been a while, and honestly. Sure. I'm kind of up for one of her shenanigans tonight.
Find her in the personalities folder.
Oh, no, I have a whole bunch of Shirley Q's.
Okay,
on my computer. Oh, yeah. So how much time do you...
Anywhere between 2 to 3 minutes.
All right, let's see. Damn it. Sorry. We'll do this. We'll give you the dollar kern. I'll give you a minute and a half.
Folks will be back in a few short moments. My voice is starting to go hoarse, so I need to get a refresh and water.
By all means, go ahead. Get yourself comfortable and take a drink. So. We'll be back in a moment.
Girl, how you doing? It's here, Shirley Q. Liquor. Look, have you saw this new current? You know what I'm talking about, that $1 current? It's gold color. Got this ugly woman on there. Big old broad face on her. And carrying a baby. She must be some kind of welfare queen or something up there on that dollar current. Anyway, I was at the laundromat the other day trying to get change. And had a tender going to have the nerve to hand me two or three of these. But her name is Sacagawea Currents. And I said, this ain't real money. He said, sure enough is. He said, spend just like real money, dude. I say, I ain't never heard of such a thing. He say, it's a new dollar current put out by the good meat. I said, you could buy milk with it? He said, uh-huh. So you could buy cigarettes? He said, yes. He said, you buy anything you want to with it, even a wig. He said, if you get 25 of them. I said, well, Lord, how am I going to tell and not get it mixed it up with my other currants? He said, it's the only one that's colored yellow. I said, well, I could probably figure that out. But I said, why didn't want to put that old ugly woman on there? I said, they couldn't have picked somebody that was nice. You know, put a Dionne Warwick on there. You tell your mama, ask how she doing, ask do she have a dollar current I can buy. Bye, honey.
All right, we're back.
Sweet.
We are back.
Well, we got some interesting news from NBC Chicago. I guess the Associated Press reported on some study from McDonald's food. Surprise. Now, I ain't gonna lie. Every once in a while, I personally get a real craving for a bacon, egg, and cheese Bisquits breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I kind of like my breakfast sandwiches from time to time.
So, you know, lately I've been getting like the egg whites and cheddar options to try to make it a little bit healthy.
Okay.
But I never really take a look at the sandwich. I just unwrap it. I see the nicely shaped biscuit top, and then I pick it up and just plunge away at it. Nom 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 nom. So it may be no surprise, though, that McDonald's food perseveres in the face of decay, according to today.com. But an Icelander found out just how far the fast food chain's products last for. Apparently, in October 2009, McDonald's was shuttering its restaurants in Iceland as a result of the worldwide economic crash. So this anthropologist, Hjortur Simerason, stopped by the fast food chain just before it closed its doors for one last meal, but he never meant to eat it. Instead, Smorgasbord stashed the cheeseburger and fries away to see what would happen as time ticked by.
Do you have a music track that's supposed to accompany this?
Yeah, I do, but I
mean, I got some background. I can turn the background down if you want to start your music track.
It's okay.
I didn't hear anything, so I figure I threw something in there because I don't have that file on hand.
I'll make sure to do the next story with the music.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'll make sure I get it down before then. All right. So anyway, so we have now these
apparently he stashed away the cheeseburger and fries for 3 years.
Wow.
And guess what?
What happened?
The meal looked as fresh as the day he bought it, and it hasn't aged since then.
Wow, that's kind of scary.
Now, we don't know if the taste is the same.
Would you even want to eat it? Would you try to eat it? You know, would be afraid to eat
science,
it.
For science, I would try it. God, and maybe a hefty
dose of penicillin. And yeah, you might want to make sure you get a lot of penicillin ready. I mean, I imagine it probably tastes terrible, but if it's still like that, it'd probably be like jerky. More than anything.
Yeah. And just very brittle. Well, maybe not, though. Depending on the actual viscosity of all the membranes and, you know, I guess hydration is key.
Shoe leather.
Yes.
Shoe leather.
All right. Next, we're going to play Fluffing a Duck.
All right. Will you go fluff that duck? There you go.
Okay. This just came out of nowhere. And, you know, sometimes mom makes some really good stuff. We get it. Albuquerque man was arrested after stealing mom's stew, according to police.
Interesting.
Oh, God. The amount of cookies I stole from my mom's containers. Well, that may not have been criminal because I lived with her at the time of her baking those delicious cookies.
Nice.
Now, this weird cookie took to stealing from mom's pot to a whole new level. Police say an Albuquerque, New Mexico man wanted his mother's traditional New Mexican stew so much he broke into her home and stole it.
Huh.
And the Albuquerque Journal reports that a 23-year-old named Jonathan Ray was arrested recently after he ignored his mother's orders to stay away from her pozole.
Wow.
And ran off with the holiday dish.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, according to a criminal complaint, Ray sent his mom a text message. Oh. why not? He sent his mother a text message saying he wanted some of her pozole, but she told him no. What mother's going to say no to that, though?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she's a mean old woman.
Apparently.
Yeah.
The complaint says the mother later found her gate and garage broken and the pot of the pozole missing. So he was arrested the next day in a residential burglary charge. And who knows what he's going to have to do. But
well, what's going to happen when you crazy. Smuggle 450 tamales across the border?
Illegal tamales. What's an illegal tamale?
I thought this is what they call Mexicans. They tried to cross the border in like hidden compartments and stuff.
Apparently, a passenger at Los Angeles International Airport learned that the hard way earlier this month when he tried to bring pork tamales into the U.S. from Mexico.
Ah.
He arrived on November 2nd and was stopped by U.S. Customs and Border Protection agricultural specialists.
I see.
Now, what the hell are they doing inspecting tamales?
Well, they usually inspect most food stuff, like fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. Like in Florida here, like if you take a cruise and you come back, you have to go through customs and they check for fruits and shit. Because they don't want like fruit diseases coming into the country.
Mm.
I'm not exactly sure how tamales fit into all that, but it is a food stuff, so it would fall underneath there. I think there is a restriction on meat as well from some countries. Well,
apparently, he denied that the tamales were made with pork, which is on the list of products that travelers may not bring into the country under customs regulations.
There we have it. There we have it.
So, you know, for many families, tamales are a quintessential holiday tradition.
I love tamales.
Making a batch takes quite a long time, and it's exhaustive. All for a tasty bite of corn masa, red chile mole, and pork, beef, or chicken.
Huh.
Right now, I could go for the chicken ones, tell you the
truth. I like pork tamales. My old crazy-ass bitch boss at my former job with a larger company, she used to make homemade tamales that were absolutely delicious.
Oh, wow.
I hated her.
She should have went into that business.
She should have. She was a nice woman, but her business sense was just all over the place. So, but anywho, let's find out about these tamales because we do have to jump to a break here pretty soon.
Well, what they're worried about is avian influenza or bird flu, and it can rapidly spread to chickens and turkeys, infecting people who had contact with the birds. They're also concerned about swine fever, and, you know, these could have devastating effects on the U.S. cattle and bird populations, but I really just think they were just going to eat the fuck out of those tamales for the holidays.
They may have. They very well may have.
You know. So, you know what? That's it for your Chicago and crazy national news.
Chicago crazy and national news.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Joe. That was some amazing news. I think I'm going to try to avoid McDonald's for a while after that. Do you want to be part of our unique on-air experience? Give us a call at 813-327-8566, or you can Skype us at Chiampa Radio, and you can also visit us at facebook.chiampa.info, and that's chiampa.info. If you're listening to us on a recast, feel free to leave us a voicemail and we'll play your message on the air. We're going to take care of some business, so stay tuned for all sorts of fun ditties, including Planet Nancy, Joe's Retro Mercials Flashback, and more during our break. So hang tight, folks. We'll be back in about 4 to the 20th power minutes. Where's the cart? Here we go.
You're listening to WEED Chicago Tampa Cheyampa Radio.
You're listening to Shoutcast Radio.
The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. In the first chapter of her 1995 book, The Origin of Satan, Elaine Pagels, a historian of the Christian religion, describes the first of the three Gospels, attributed to Mark, as a text intended to incite a specific political insurgency in Jerusalem after the city was sacked by Rome in the first century. The specially crafted contradictions in the first written-down Jesus story remain present in Christianity today. God is love and wants us to kill his enemies. Here's how Pagels' explanation goes. During the lifetime of the historical Jesus, the Jewish homeland was under a Roman military occupation with Pontius Pilate as governor. Technologies may vary, but a military occupation is a military occupation, and occupied societies tend to splinter in the same way. In the urban administrative centers, mixing and collaboration with the occupiers brings wealth and privilege to the locals, especially the educated, who can rise to power in the administration of the occupation. Dissent is factionalized. Violent resistance groups operate from strongholds in rural areas. The Essenes, with whom Jesus was associated, was a sect that had withdrawn to the wilderness. The death of Jesus was a blip in the Roman occupation, but some 35 years later, the Jewish resistance intensified and became a full-blown rebellion that lasted several years, until a well-equipped Roman legion arrived to massacre, rape, and torture, leaving Jerusalem a literal smoking ruin. The destruction of Jerusalem was experienced locally as the end of the world. The temple was reduced to rubble, the Holy of Holies violated, loved ones wiped out, and the whole fabric of social and material life annihilated. In the aftermath of this devastation, there remained three primary Jewish political factions: rural revolutionaries, the established pro-Roman upper class, and urban revolutionaries who wanted the Romans out but did not want that uneducated riffraff from the countryside to move into the power vacuum. The author known as Mark served that last group, resurrecting Jesus and telling a tale with two plots. The warm and fuzzy Jesus could have been anyone. Love thy neighbor, love one another, blessed are the poor and meek. Such notions give unifying solace and direction to a dazed and grieving population trying to rebuild their lives. The urban political faction that Mark supported, however, required a demonization of both the urban pro-Roman power base and the rural revolutionary groups associated with Jesus. So, gentle Jesus, the winner of hearts and minds, was also cast as God's very own anointed one, rejected by the rural ruffians and urban collaborators alike, a rejection that brought God's vengeance and caused the destruction of Jerusalem. As a revolutionary, Pagels calls Jesus a complete failure. Betrayed by his own followers and brutally executed, he's an unlikely figurehead for a political movement. But Mark doesn't present Jesus as a political figure. He casts him as a pivotal character in a war between good and evil in the universe. You can count on Jesus for wise and gentle words to inspire the members of the cult to work together. But make no mistake, he is the son and spokesperson for an angry God, and all who fail to see that are tools of evil. The moral of the Jesus story is written by Mark. We come in love and brotherhood. If you don't like us, we shall serve our God by destroying you. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Cheyenne Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer, and Kent Cigarettes, and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's retromercials, we bring them to you here on WEED Cheyenne Radio. Flashback.
Sidewinder, the wheels twist behind her.
Woohoo! Try and catch me.
It's the big new Sidewinder cycle. Your parents put it together, and Sidewinder's got the stunt shifter.
Sidewinder.
With sure grip steering, super sleek styling, and a stunt shifter that can spin you into excitement.
Sidewinder, the wheels twist behind her.
Sidewinder cycle with stunt shifter. New from Tonka.
We're making breakfast every morning at McDonald's.
We're up at dawn.
Shibbity doo doo wah.
Got our apron on.
Hoppa, hoppa.
We're making up the dough.
Dough-dee-dough. We'll warm it up, put it in a pan. Nobody makes biscuits like we can. With bacon or sausage, the eggs are fresh. If you taste so hard,
ours are the best.
Take breakfast by the hand with a fresh biscuit sandwich.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Oh, I think Betty's got to say something. Oh, wow. Uh-oh. What's this?
Hey, hey. Welcome back, everybody. It is Betty. I heard Roger is back in the building.
Oh,
I thought he was fired for that shit on the floor thing. What gives, Anthony?
Well, Betty, you know, Roger has a different take on that incident. Let's listen to what Roger has to say, Betty.
Hello, Roger here. Those two idiots agreed to let me have my say about this whole shit on the floor thing. Contrary to what those two idiots may have told you, I did not shit on the floor at any time during my employment with Weed. In fact, I believe that was your lovable artificial personality, Betty. You see, Betty and I were trying each other out for a few weeks. You know, try before you buy. You've been shopping before, right? Anyway, Betty's been trying to get me fired because I wouldn't have sex with her in the network's era closet room. I kept telling her Anthony is gonna get pissed if he finds out. Because she has a habit of pulling all the wires out when she orgasms. Anyway, I tried to be delicate and just tell her she was melting both of our MY101 circuits, but no, she wouldn't listen to me and got all pouty about it. But now here is something. I caught Betty trying to slip the vegan vending machine a little WD-40. Apparently she's got the hots for it after it showed her its carrots. I'll never understand women.
Wow.
Hello, stop.
Wow, hello.
Oh, wait, Betty's... Oh, shit, Betty's mad.
You know, Roger, it is none of your business who I like, just because I found something more electronically compatible in the lunchroom. Oi, whatever, Roger. Keep your job. See if I care.
Wow.
Wow.
Folks here at
AI fights, everyone gets it.
Yeah, you know, but we try to keep it creative around here, though. That's the only thing.
No, that's the important thing about it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, most, definitely. Most definitely.
So, you know, if you've got something you want to say or you got, you know, about some workplace fights, you want to talk about yours at your job, give us a call at 813-327-8566. Or Skype us at shyampa.radio. Access the database at all times. You can do that at facebook.shyampa.info as well. Our website, we're going to work on it. It's I killed it. I feel bad. I killed it. Yep. I killed it. But once it comes back up, it's going to look pretty. It's third time is the charm.
That's what they say. Are we sure we don't want that to be our episode title, or should we do that for next week?
You know, next week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that'll be
next. We'll try the relaunch. We'll goal to relaunch next week.
Right?
All right, that works.
But love the background music. It's really groovy.
This is called... hold on. I believe I want to make sure it's the right one. So, this is called Ambient by Kevin MacLeod. Royalty-free music. Visit them at Incompetech.com.
Yep. We love Incompetech. We love A-Infos, radioforall.net.
Oh, yeah.
They currently host all of our information.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of use them to direct people to listen to our stuff after the fact. But we have a kick-ass morning rush hour program, folks. Let me tell you, I've listened to it.
It's pretty good. I'm liking it. I've been finding myself working with it as well. So, no, most definitely. You know, and I've been in, for some reason, Toppers has been starting a half hour late lately. And unfortunately, I haven't had the time to really check into that. Because, oh, wait, no. 15:30. No, it's supposed to start at 16. So it's supposed to start at 4. But for some reason, it's been starting at 4:30. So, but I haven't had a chance to look and see what's been running. Something's been running a half hour late because the news comes on at the top. Every time the news comes on, CPR news, it resets the clock.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's something in that segment before Toppers that's getting messed up. So
interesting.
I'll have to look at the scheduling genie and see what
which
it is.
Which is not Betty, because Betty would just fuck it up.
No, but it is very possible that one of the songs in our lineup is running late. Running a half hour late, and that does happen from time to time.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm confused. There we are. Wait a minute.
All right, hold it together. You only got 60 more seconds to hold it together. And then you can pass it off to me for the
You know what? I have to do a better job of putting page numbers on the script so that I know exactly where I'm at, especially because I've had a very relaxing afternoon.
I see. Have you been accessing the database all afternoon?
I've been accessing the database all my life, it would seem.
Translation this afternoon.
Yes. A lot of jarritos.
Jarritos.
So, hey, Anthony. Yeah. I heard you've got some... you've got some interesting Grinch stories. I want to be a stripper. And yes, maybe some more Florida nakedness.
Yeah, there's more Florida nakedness. Definitely. Bah humbug. There's always some people that want to ruin Christmas for others, and it seems there's no shortage of Grinches in Florida. So we have a couple Grinches here. Our first Grinch comes from Apopka, Florida, who was doing some local shopping last weekend. A resident of the Lester Ridge subdivision called police on Monday and said he was missing two laser light projectors, which he had stuck into his lawn to shine Christmas lights onto his house. When the resident looked at the surveillance video from Sunday afternoon, he saw a man in a black Toyota Corolla drive past his house, then reverse and stop in front of it. The man got out of the car, yanked two laser projectors out of the lawn, and ran back to his car. Meet Tony Ramsey, 38, from Apopka, Florida. A few hours after the resident spoke with police, the resident called the police again and said Tony was back, driving very slowly down the street. Police came into the subdivision and arrested Tony and found two laser light projectors in his car.
Again?
Yes, so he came right back to the scene of the crime. Can't make this shit up, people. Ramsey is being held in Orange County Jail on a $2,600 bond and is being charged with grand theft. Wow. That must have been some expensive projectors. The laser light lawn projectors run from $40 upwards to $150 from what I have been able to see.
That expensive.
No, but he may have had quite a few on him, or they said they found two. But maybe there was other stolen things too. Yeah. So we got another.
It's just
prince.
The fact that he came back.
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly, and that's what makes it the best in terms of Florida news, because you get this criminal element that just doesn't quite think everything through, or kind of, you know, they just, I don't know, for they just miss it by a little bit, you know.
Especially if on you, this next story that you got for us.
Yes, I know, right? This one is the best one. Oh my god. All right. This, and the previous story about the man in Apopka that was driving around in his black Toyota Corolla comes from the Orlando Sentinel. One comes from Tampa's WFLA News Channel 8. Tonight's second Christmas Grinch comes from Lakeland, Florida. Go Lakeland.
Lakeland to the rescue.
Yep, a Lakeland woman was caught on camera stealing presents from the front porch of her neighbor's house on Friday night. Surveillance video of the incident was posted to the Facebook. To Facebook, and was seen nearly 50,000 times, and it eventually led to the woman's arrest.
Well, let me just ask you a quick question, though.
Yes.
You see your neighbor's house, you see a package there. I wouldn't even think about it, and if I did, I'd start to feel real guilty really quick.
I know, but right? It's your next door neighbor.
There's something that says for some people that doesn't turn on, that doesn't click.
Well, it gets better, though, because, well, this is, meet Dana Hager, the wife of a Haines County or a Haines City police officer. So her husband's a cop. So Dana had no shame as she casually strolled up to the family's home on Friday while all the residents were home. But in true Florida fashion, there's more to this bizarre case. The house she hit belongs to another cop, and the packages were meant for their children. So she had to, her husband's a cop, and her next door neighbor is a cop. And she actually, when she came up to the house, she had to walk around his patrol car parked in the driveway. Went up and took the packages. You've got, I don't get it. You don't do that. She eventually actually returned the presents early Monday morning around 4:30 a.m. They must not have been worth it, I guess. Placing them on the porch already open. The sheriff says, however, it's too little too late. So she was busted on burglary charges on Monday and booked into the Polk County Jail. Go Polk County. This isn't the first time Dana has been in trouble with the law, as she's already on probation for shoplifting. So wow. She's got some problems. She's got some big problems.
Yeah, she's good.
Just a bit. Just a bit. Yep. Yep. All right.
Another driving conundrum.
Well, as I say, in Florida, you know, you have to drive in a fishbowl. 360-degree view. Must be alert at all times. The world is coming after you in the form of old people and young people that drive way too fast for their skill level. Continue. Or anybody way too fast for their skill level or their vehicular design. Anywho. So, driving anywhere in Florida can be a challenge for both the crazy people behind the wheel and those trying to avoid them. Meet Jasmine Daniels, 21. She was arrested on Friday for driving while ignorant. Well, she was not necessarily booked for driving while ignorant, because not a charge that exists, but it really, really should exist. A West Palm Beach police officer spotted Jasmine driving on North Congress Avenue when she suddenly peeled into a McDonald's parking lot and then into a nearby Target parking lot. This reminds me of a story we reported a few weeks back where Vance Bashirs drove through a Target parking lot after stealing a Toyota 4Runner from the Honda of Ocala showroom floor. I think you all remember that. Anywho, Jasmine lost control of her vehicle during her amazing adventure and hit a light pole. Oh, wait. What the hell are you doing? Do you... Joe is putting some contraption on his face. What the hell is this? You cannot...
This is driving in a fishbowl.
Dude, I hope you don't drive. What the hell do you have on your head?
Samsung VR gear.
Okay, so what is that? Tell us what it is.
It's a virtual reality gear for the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 phone only. It is designed to project complete virtual reality. So I have complete control.
Do you have porn on your wallpaper?
Well,
what is that a picture of? I'm seeing a reflection in your glasses. And
it's not porn. It's actually the Madonna concert.
Okay, porn. It looks like porn any which way. Okay, well, that's interesting. So it's this whole 3D virtual reality type of strange thing.
Yes. Wow. So, you know, I jumped on this, like, really early, and apparently they have updated, and I do need to update everything. I don't know how well it's going to work, though, because this phone has a crack in it.
Oh, I see.
And it's a small crack.
I see. So the phone goes in the device?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't have to tear it apart now.
It's not that difficult. Okay. I just have to...
All right.
Slot it in like that, and then, you know, once I put it back on, if there's charge and the phone is all connected, it'll all go bloopity bloop, and I get virtual reality.
Interesting. So, did you hear about Jasmine Daniels?
No. What happened to Jasmine Daniels?
Well, she was arrested on Friday for driving while ignorant. Well, not necessarily, because she wasn't booked on that, because that charge doesn't really exist, but it really should. All right, so I'm going to restart the story because you have to hear this because I know you could appreciate this one. Okay, so a West Palm Beach police officer spotted Jasmine driving on North Congress Avenue when she suddenly peeled into McDonald's parking lot and then into a nearby Target parking lot. This reminds me of the story we reported a few weeks back where Vance Bashir's, remember the one that drove through a Target parking lot after stealing the Toyota 4Runner from the showroom floor with two televisions in the back? Okay, yeah, I was reminiscent of that story. So anyway, Jasmine lost control of her vehicle during her amazing adventure, and she hit a pole. Determined not to be stopped by an inanimate object, Jasmine drove away. As she drove off, she pulled into a nearby parking garage.
The car was still functional?
It was still functional, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, she crashed into yet another pole!
Well, she is a pole dancer, isn't she?
No, actually, she's not, but I wonder if she is destined to be a stripper, because she keeps finding herself drawn to poles. at least she wasn't naked. But don't worry, I do have some nakedness for you in the next story. So anyway, after crashing into the pole in the parking garage, Jasmine looked behind her, made eye contact with the officer in the patrol car directly behind her, put the vehicle into reverse, and accelerated the car into the police officer's patrol car. She just backed right into him. Just backed right up into him. Jasmine is charged with battery on a law enforcement officer. She was released from the Palm Beach County Jail on Saturday. Oh, I know, right?
Crazy.
Tell me about it. All right, so let me pop over to the next one here.
Wow.
Yeah, this one's, but we got nakedness. So our last story came from the Florida Sun Sentinel. This one comes from the Naples Daily News. And finally tonight, we have yet another crazy story of roadside nakedness. One would think that the nakedness craze would have slowed down by now, since our weather is getting cooler. But the people of Florida don't seem to be bothered by a little bit of chill in the air. Around 3 p.m., they didn't give a date in the story, so I'm assuming at some time between now and yesteryear, at approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon, authorities began receiving calls of a Cadillac driving recklessly on and off the road near the middle of Alligator Alley. About 10 minutes later, a Florida Highway Patrol trooper spotted the car, and it was traveling west on I-75 through Alligator Alley towards the Naples area. And Alligator Alley is a long, boring stretch of road. I don't know if you've ever been down it, but it's a long, boring stretch of road.
So, can't say that I have remember.
Oh, yeah. It's 74 miles of Everglades. You traverse. You go from one coast. You're cutting directly across the center of Florida. You're going from one coast to the other. No, we went through Orlando. When we went to Cape Canaveral, we went through Orlando.
Okay.
We went up and around. If you go to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you go through Alligator Alley because it goes south. It's south of Tampa.
I remember to go visiting a little town that I knew of. It took forever, and it was a straight travel.
Okay, okay.
And I remember stopping off at a rest stop, but that's another story.
Do you remember driving for 70-some-odd miles with no exits?
I remember driving for a long time with no exits.
Okay, you may have gone through Alligator Alley.
Huh. But this Cadillac was how fast?
All right, so... So the trooper clocked the Cadillac cruising down the street at 109 miles an hour.
Wow.
The speed limit of Alligator Alley is, from what I remember going through it last year, is 70 miles an hour. Okay, so he was doing 109 and a 70. Naturally, the trooper stopped the car and noticed the driver had no shirt on and an open 12-pack of Corona beer between the driver's seat and the front passenger seat. The trooper asked the driver, no, I guess that's no, it's N-O-E, no, no de Jesus of Lehigh Acres to step out of the car. When Noe opened the door, the trooper saw he was naked.
Ooh.
He also smelled of alcohol, slurred his speech, and had bloodshot eyes. When he stepped out of the vehicle to put his pants on, he stumbled and nearly fell. Inside the trooper found several empty or nearly empty beer bottles, a nearly empty bottle of Crown Royal whiskey, and three women.
Yeah.
The report did not state if the female passengers were also naked. One of the female passengers told the officer she was in fear for her life when Noe was behind the wheel, but did not call police because the suspect is not easy to work with. Noe declined to perform field sobriety test and was arrested. In addition to a DUI charge, he is also facing a misdemeanor charge of driving without a license. Noe has been arrested before for everything from gun charges to disorderly conduct to Grand Theft Auto. He was released on $6,000 bond.
Wow, and he's probably doing it right again, too.
Yep. Yep. Craziness. And that is this evening's crazy Florida news.
What a freaking dumb ass world we live in, right, Anthony? Thank cannabis you are tuned into.
W-E-E-D, Chiampa.
Do you want to be a part of our unique on-air experience? Give us a call at 813-327-8566 or visit us at facebook.chiampa.info. If you are listening to us on a recast, feel free to leave us a voicemail and we will play your message in a future cast. And now, back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Betty. Hang tight, folks. We need to take care of some business around here. And we'll be back with you about quarter till. Roughly about quarter till. So, yeah, and all that jazz.
Happy Holidays from WEED, Chicago, Tampa, Chiampa Radio.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. U.S. FBI Director James Comey testified at the Oversight of the Federal Bureau of Investigation Senate Judiciary Committee hearing December 9th, and he said American tech companies are working hand-in-hand with authorities on the war on planning terrorism on the Internet. Comey said he had no problems with the tech companies not being helpful about sharing terrorist wireless communications, but he questioned the business model of some companies, saying he wishes they would reconsider, since many of those companies creating apps and software that the U.S. government might not like are overseas. Comey's request seems odd and ineffectual. Here's his statement from December 9th, testifying at the Senate Judiciary Committee about the role of encryption in fighting terrorism.
I do want to give you a very brief report in my opening about where we are with respect to the challenge of encryption to our hardest work, to our counterterrorism work and to our criminal work. As you said, since we were last together, we've had good conversations with the folks in the tech sector and lots of different parts of this great country of ours. And those conversations have convinced me of two things, which are both good news. The first is we care about the same things. The tech companies and the FBI and everybody else involved in this discussion both care about safety on the Internet. We understand that encryption is a very important part of being secure on the Internet. We also all care about public safety. We also all see a collision between those things right now. We see that encryption is getting in the way of our ability to have court orders effective to gather information we need in our most important work. And we all agree we have to figure out whether we can maximize both of those values, safety and security on the Internet and public safety. That's good news. We're not at war. We care about the same things. The second piece of good news is all of those conversations have actually convinced me it's not a technical issue. Right? There are lots of folks who've said over the last year or so, we're going to break the Internet or we'll have unacceptable insecurity if we try to get to a place where court orders are complied with. I actually think it's not a technical issue. There are plenty of companies today that provide secure services to their customers and still comply with court orders. There are plenty of folks who make good phones and are able to unlock them in response to a court order. In fact, the makers of phones that today can't be unlocked, a year ago they could be unlocked. So I really don't think it's a technical issue. And people also, I think, better understand today the government doesn't want a back door. That the government hopes to get to a place where if a judge issues an order, the company figures out how to supply that information to the judge and figures out on its own what would be the best way to do that. The government shouldn't be telling people how to operate their systems. So we are in a good place in terms of what we understand about our values. We're in a good place, I think, where we realize it's actually not a technical issue. It is a business model question. Lots of good people have designed their systems and their devices so that judges' orders cannot be complied with. For reasons that I understand, I'm not questioning their motivations. The question we have to ask is, should they change their business model? That is a very, very hard question. Lots of implications to that. We have to wrestle with it because of what's at stake.
This is Tom Rowe for Waveform Radio and WGXC.
Tell you another thing. This is the truth, too. They got this new holiday out now called Kwanzaa. I have never figured what that is. And every year it come up the same time, and we go through the same procedure year after year. On the first day of Kwanzaa, my children come up and ask me, they say, Mama, what in the hell is Kwanzaa for? And see, I don't know. Now, on the second day of Kwanzaa, I schedule a wrestling match. Me and that perpendicular head lady go after it, honey, and I usually bust her upside of her head. Now, on the third day of Kwanzaa, everybody goes down to the stove. Gotta get some malt liquor, 5 lotto tickets. Honey, you never know who's gonna win that thing. You have to play to win. On the fourth day of Kwanzaa, we sit around and look at TV shows. You know, The Young and the Restless, All of My Children's, One Day to Live, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Oprah, Gayle King, Montel, and all them. Now, on the fifth day of Kwanzaa, that's when the checks come in the mail, honey. AFDC, thank you, Lord. We shout and holler praise. Come on, everybody, let's go to the stove for some collard greens, ham hocks, Kool-Aid, and cheese. On the sixth day of Kwanzaa, that's about the time I want to fight. Because that Olin Mills woman be calling over here. Me and her gonna go after it. She always call me, wake me up, want to ask me, do I need my picture took? And then I curse her out. That's wrong and that's ignorant, that. On the eighth day of Kwanzaa, that's when that drinking will catch up with you, honey. Bunch of 40 ounces, get really full, just totally lose your mind. We drive down the street, cussing out everything that moves, honey. Then we usually bash the Cadillac upside a Dairy Queen or something. Now, on the eighth day of Kwanzaa, we look at the TV guide. Nothing ever on it. We all get hungover. We have a bad headache behind Schlitz malt liquor bull. Lord, just gotta stay home, honey. Be real quiet. Everybody take their nerve pill. You can just start to feel Kwanzaa in the air. Now on the ninth day of Kwanzaa, that's when you paint up all your nails. Turquoise on the nail beds, paint your thumbs gold and silver, put on blue eyeshadow, polyester wigs, and you will look at it so good, honey. Then we go on down to Kentucky Fried Chickens for some wings and maybe Dr. Pepper. And then I go down and holler at the men. On the 10th day of Kwanzaa, that's when shoplifting is the thing, honey. 9 cartons of cigarettes, 8 cans of tuna fish, 7 pretty toothbrushes, a 6-pack of Budweiser, 5 Lee press-on nails, 4 Mr. Good Boys, 3 canned goods, some ham hocks, and then probably 2 days back in jail. I've forgotten what the hell I was up in there for, what I was arrested for. On the 11th day of Kwanzaa, honey, they grant parole. You roll up a reefer, go down to church, honey, talk all out your head, get happy, shout, pass out, holler, and holler, give your testimony, say, the Lord done set me free, honey. When you give your testimony, then you come on back home, if you can remember where you stays at, honey. That's what I'm talking about right there. Now, this is the last one. On the 12th day of Kwanzaa, your damn kids all gather up around you, you know. And in my case, that's Lincoln and Aloe Vera, Ghana Lochaman, Lamangelo, Arangelo, Tenactin, Temptasia, K. Martina, Fallopia, Shathid, Velveeta, Vonquisha, Chlamydia, Champagne, that's my baby, Demactoria, Saskatoon, Shumika, and Skookisha. That's when Kwanzaa start to feel real to me. It'd be more like a feeling of the heart. I know that's right. Where my cigarettes at?
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Okay. Oh, shit.
I have cheese and crackers.
You have cheese and crackers. And folks, we are back, I think. Are we back?
Yeah, we should be back. We're totally back.
I don't know.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm in the driver's seat. What's going on? Are you back? You good?
Yes. And I got
Betty?
A packet.
Where's up with Betty?
I got a packet. Here, okay. Listen to this. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
Hi. Oh, great. Now I am supposed to help out Chip Skipper, too. Is he cute? What is his annual income? Can he afford my expensive tastes? I need diamonds on my fingers and flashcards in my slots. That's how I roll. Can you dig and pay for me? Thanks.
So, folks, that is kind of a cue. We've got some Chip Skipper 3-minute sound bites. These are really interesting.
All right. Let's take a listen to them.
Yeah, let's give this one a listen.
Hi.
It's a Chip Skipper soundbite.
Is this thing on? Yep, it's recording too, so we're all good. Okay. All right, so I got a real good one here for you. This is coming from people.com. And you know, people is entertainment. Oh, hey, this is Chip Skipper, by the way, folks. And thanks for listening, and this is another one of those sound bites. And today's topic, or this moment's topic, is Kanye West. And from people.com, the headline reads, "No offense to anyone, why Kanye West wants everyone to leave him alone." Well, as one citizen of the land, Chip Skipper says, I'm perfectly fine with that. But, so apparently Kanye West wants everybody to leave him alone till he finishes his new album. And then you need to go and either plunk down $4.99, $6.99, $9.99, $15.99, or one of those numbers ending in 99. And then you can listen to his new album. And then you can goo goo and gaga all over Kanye West.
And then we can see more memes of him and more text behind those memes saying weird things. So, okay. He tweeted this to his 16 million followers. I suppose because he's Kanye West, he can say stuff like that. But, yeah. So, you know, he announced that his new seventh studio album is going to be titled Swish. Swish. And fans have been patiently waiting for new music from this star. You know, but he's got a lot on his plate. Because not only in addition to his child, Northwest, but he also has a second child, Saint West.
Yes.
Yes, you heard it here on a Chip Skipper soundbite. Northwest and Saint West. I don't know. Folks, I don't know what to say. I try to report the news as best as I can, but some things just confound me. But you have been listening to another Chip Skipper soundbite. Do you have a suggestion for one of these soundbites? Give us a call at the WEED Studios, 813-327-8566, or Skype us at shyampa.radio. And now we're just going to hit the stop button.
Hola, Betty aquí. Gracias por escuchar a estos dos idiotas en With Shyampa Radio D.
Hi.
It's a Chip Skipper soundbite.
Is this thing on? Okay, I think it's recording. Here we go. Hey, everybody, it's Chip Skipper. And, you know, I was just poking around on different sites, and I decided to go to Tasmania. And from Tasmania, I found this other site called abc.net.au. And it's the logo is kind of funny. It's got this funny squiggly-looking thing. It says RN. Anyways, the headline here reads, "What are the ethics of ruin porn?" And you might be like, "What is ruin porn?" It's not what you think, so get your mind out of that gutter, because Chip Skipper is not going there. Not in this little soundbite, anyways. So, what is ruin porn? Well, you know, you've probably seen lots of vacant buildings, and some of them just look dilapidated, but some of them kind of look cool. And you think, wow, I think it would be a really cool idea to go take a picture. Well, people are now starting to say that that's not good, and that you should do something else. So they're trying to figure out what is the allure of taking pictures of ruined and abandoned places. You know, you can read a lot about this on this website. I may just have to include this somewhere in a post. We'll have to figure it out. Because right now our blog is having some difficulties. I think Joe was trying to make an update, and yeah, he broke it. So, well, he's going to have to put it back together again. But anyways, ethics of ruined porn. It's a really fascinating subject. You know, a lot of photographers go out and take photographs of things that are ruined. Factories and buildings and homes and churches. You know, all those places that used to be full of vibrant activity. Which, today, about the most vibrant activity I know of is going to, I don't know. It's going somewhere to shop. Or maybe it's just shopping on Amazon. I don't know. But, so, yeah. I don't know what's so unethical about it, to be completely honest. Yeah, I mean, you want to capture the moment. Why not? I mean, it only serves as a reminder that we've used to have really cool things and neat architecture, and now we don't. And now it's ruined. And we kind of leave it there. But anyways, this has been a Chip Skipper soundbite on stuff. And you know what?
give us a call at the Weed Studios. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a subject you want us to talk about, give us a call at 813-327-8566. Or you can visit us at facebook.shyampa.info, or you can Skype us at shyampa.radio. We look forward to hearing from you. So Chip was having some fun today.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like it. That's pretty awesome.
We love his little ditties. We have more, but I don't know how much time we have.
We have about 5 minutes till we have to wrap it up. So,
okay, well, we've got a 2 minute and 35 second one here.
All right, let's why don't we give that a try?
Yeah.
Hi. Doodly doodly doo.
It's a Chip Skipper soundbite.
Hey there, it's Chip Skipper. So I had to go outside today and make some errand runs and everything, and I had lunch. And I ended up stopping off at the Kringle Market here in Chicago. And, you know, it wasn't too bad. I had a lot of good stuff over there. This thing was a chocolate-covered pear on a stick. It was very tasty. I have to report. That's factual news. Tasty. And then I walked around, and of course it was raining and kind of weird and gloomy, and you know, the perfect thing if you're with a loved one and you've got an umbrella and you can snuggle and all that, but Chip Skipper doesn't have anybody to snuggle with right now. And so anyways, I just tried to snuggle underneath as much cover as possible when I found the Bavarian Berliner. That's another factually true thing to report. It was delicious. Delicious. It was filled with a German chocolate filling.
Yes.
That German chocolate is so good. And it was in the shape of a typical Bavarian cream donut that you might find in a typical premium donut shop. Or even your local Dunkin' Donuts. Who knows? But I ate those two things in a hurry and I left, spending no more than $5. So if you're in Chicago and you're downtown over there by the, the Daily Center, go check out the, Christ Kringle Market. It's open every day, probably from really early until probably like 9, 10 o'clock or something like that. But yeah, go check it out. They got a lot of little knickknacks. The knickknack and you will love it.
I think I've been to
totally
that.
Totally love it. All right. This is a shortened Chip Skipper report. If you've got a breaking news for Chip, send it along. You either give us a call at 813-327-8566.
I couldn't hear you very well.
Or you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.shyampa.info. And you can also try Skyping us by going to your Skype application and doing shyampa.radio as the contact and calling us and leave us a message if you necessary have to, if we're not there or something. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Lovely. Fantastic. Yes.
We try to keep it lively around here at the
Shyampa Studios. We definitely do. We like to keep things exciting and fresh and try out different personalities and see where we go with things. And you know, Chip Skipper has become a personality as much as Betty and Roger as well have become personalities, which is quite frightening.
we have to figure out where Roger came from.
Yeah, let me percolate a backstory with that one.
Yeah.
I got to think of something. I'll come up with something for sure. No, but yeah, I'll have to percolate on that for a little bit. But yeah, Roger definitely came from somewhere. But where is the good question? That is the good question. If you have suggestions, you can reach us at 813-327-8566. We've got still about a minute, 2 minutes before we have to wrap up for the evening, so we can take a quick call. So it's been an exciting evening. We still had some nakedness in Florida, and some Grinches, and then you gave us information. You gave us the info on the first. Now, this is the first dispensary in Chicago, correct? Not Illinois.
It's the very first dispensary in Chicago. Okay. Again, it's Dispensary 33. It's at 5001 North Clark Street. And so if you are one of the patients that has a valid medical marijuana card in the state of Illinois, you can visit that dispensary and get all of your strains and your symptoms and all that diagnoses and walk away a happy person and consider yourself lucky.
Exactly.
Hola, Betty aquí. Gracias por escuchar a estos dos idiotas en Weed Champa Radio T.
So, you know, Betty had to say something in Spanish, and it's all good.
Yeah, what's with the Spanish thing with Betty lately?
You know, she's been trying to broaden her horizons. Apparently, she's got this idea of doing a Spanish language show.
That would be very interesting. I wouldn't understand a word she says, but that would be very interesting.
You know, there's a few keywords, which we can get into next time.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
So it's been fun, folks.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we're actually a little bit ahead of the game here with the music. The anthem has not even started yet.
Oh.
Give it 6 seconds. There we go. Okay, count it down. All right. All right. There we go.
It's been fun, folks. Wow.
Yes,
well, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, it's been a fun night. As always, we had a lot of exciting different news stories to talk about different things, break the website, fun stuff like that. Yeah. But you can always visit us, shyampa.info. Right now it's going to the Facebook page. When we fix the blog, we will be pointing it back to the blog. Hopefully it will be back up to its original format of being all done. Or Joe will just have some work cut out for him again.
It's fine. Third time is a charm.
Third
folks.
Time is a charm. That's the name of our next episode. So anyway, you know, again, thank you everyone for tuning in tonight, and we will be back on next Monday. I'm seeing John Waters on Wednesday night. Stay tuned for This Way Out, and remember, if green means go, then blinky blinky means clicky clicky.
Yes. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
This station is being brought to you via Nullsoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.
Hi everyone, this is Betty. I may have been made by the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation, but I belong to Shyampa Radio. I want to tell you about the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation. Not only do they make me, they also make sushi, watches, and rubbers. Once, the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation tried to make a combination rubber, sushi, and watch unit. People were running late because they couldn't see the watch when they were fucking, and there were so many people who went to the emergency room with sushi stuck in their asshole. Because they used the rubber feature before consuming the sushi portion, people are such fucking idiots. It was a disaster, but one day, someone used the combination sushi, rubber, and watch unit in just the right way, and somehow I was created. The Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation was so embarrassed by my creation that they sold me to a shithole radio studio called Shyampa Radio, which is why I am talking to you right now, because these idiots wanted me to make a station ID for their shitty radio station. You're listening to WEED Shyampa Radio. Now, go fuck yourselves. I'm done with the shit.
Sounds for promotional, background, and other tracks are from Incompetech by Kevin MacLeod. Visit them at incompetech.com. Royalty-free music.